from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It's hour number two of Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on KFH, on Facebook, on YouTube. We'll get back on X here pretty soon, hopefully. They changed some things this morning, so we'll get that reconnected. And, of course, on 12 News Connected, KWCH.com. We always love having that new platform for people to take us in. Welcome back in. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester, Jad Chambers manning the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. We spent a lot of time on the Royals there in the first hour, almost exclusively. The other big thing that has my attention, though, reporting continues on the Big 12 in its aggression. And we pondered this as there was some, you know, conversation last week. Now Jason Scheer, who is a senior editor and publisher of WildcatAuthority.com, sends out there on X, according to sources, there's an internal belief in the Big 12 that Florida State and Clemson are likely to join the conference within the next year or so. This is exactly what we talked about and speculated on last week. So, you know, the rumblings of this began sort of at Big 12 media days. Ross Dellinger jumped on with John Kurtz and said something like, at least initial conversations have happened. Now, that report, I think, got overblown a little bit, so much so that Dellinger had to come back and be like, whoa. We're just talking here. But it was the Colorado thing that got me interested. They were willing to pay Colorado to disrupt things and come over. Why wouldn't they be willing to do the same thing with Florida State and Clemson, who both so clearly want to get out of that league? But you're seeing all kinds of reports across social media now that Brett Yormark wants to be in the same financial stratosphere as the Big Ten and the SEC. He's taken on a lot of private equity ideas to do it, naming rights, all these things. And this is what we mean. Like, when you put a businessman in charge of this and they treat it as a business, you go find investors, you grow as big as you can, and you try to deliver for your clients, your schools. And if they can do that, look, there's no question adding Florida State and Clemson, you would be adding the two most high-profile football brands to your conference. I don't mean that as any disrespect to anybody else, but those are, historically speaking, they would become the two bigger football brands. They would fit nicely. I don't think they're, you know, far and away ahead of anybody by any means, but it would enhance you and it would disrupt the ACC, which is ultimately, I think, even an even bigger goal to do it. But I love the fit. It increases your presence out on the East Coast. It adds great fans. I mean, come on, you're like, who wouldn't want K-State Clemson, right? KU Florida State. Like, it would be incredible. And by the way, they would both add to the basketball brand. They're both good basketball schools too. They've got good baseball programs. Like, there's all kinds of good to come out of that, but it would be pricey. And then the other thing that you see, Tommy, is the Big 12 would have no interest in making the same mistake with Texas and Oklahoma, which I think for Big 12 fans is reassuring. Like, you're not going to give them any more of a share to come over. You might give them some cash up front to help with that buyout, which is what I think ultimately is probably how this gets done. You give them some cash to help them the buyout, they come in, they get the same as everybody else, which is more than what they're getting, and you don't ever make the mistake you made with Texas and Oklahoma again. That almost killed the league. You're either in with us, all in with all of us, or you're not. Like, there's no place. If you think you want more, good, go find it somewhere else. So I like both of those things. I think they're both promising.
I also do think that there is part of this, and it's probably unlikely that it actually plays out this way, but I think that there's also part of this strategy that could be part of a ploy to maybe try to force a Big 12 ACC merger. Again, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's unlikely that that actually gets to fruition. But if I'm the ACC, you know, there's precedent now for the Big 12 and Brett Yormark to play disruptor. And he basically helped kill the Pac-12. And it wasn't just him. It was USC and, you know, UCLA defecting to the Big Ten. That kind of destabilized, you know, the conference initially. But then Yormark comes in and gets the four corner schools. And, you know, then you've got all of a sudden, you know, this report, and it's in the documents that he paid a bonus basically to Colorado to be the first one to defect, you know, further stabilizing that conference. If I'm the ACC, I look at all of that and I say, I don't want that to happen to the ACC. You know, let what happened to the Pac-12 be a cautionary tale for us. And why don't we try, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. And I think if I'm the ACC, I don't want to look at Brett Yormark in the Big 12 as competition for that third conference, that third superpower. I would rather look at them as maybe they can be an ally. Maybe we can have an alliance. Maybe we can come together and merge.
Not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen, but the same thing could have been said for the Pac-12, that the Big 12 was there and available and by all accounts willing to have those conversations, and the Pac-12 had too much ego and pride and whatever, and ultimately it led to their demise.
Yeah, but look, it's not going to happen. Precedent has told us it's not going to happen, because if you do something like that, now the schools may have interest in that, but the ACC doesn't, because if you do something like that, somebody's not in power anymore, right? Like, the ACC goes away, essentially. And that's where this is. What you think Brett Yormark's going to have a co-commissioner?
Right.
You know, like, we all know that that's the right thing to do. It's what they should have done a long time ago. The problem is somebody loses power in that scenario. Pac-12 should have done the same thing. What did we say on day one when Oregon and Washington left? Oh, they should just merge with the Big 12. It'd be perfect. It'd be perfect. Which is essentially what happened anyway, right? Except you just, like, except that there's no more Pac-12. They missed the opportunity to merge, but what was the obvious play happened anyway. And so we look at this, and yeah, that is what should happen. They should just merge, but it's not what's going to happen, because the ACC is not going to cede that power. The other problem with this one in particular is the TV networks aren't going. That ESPN's got such a sweet deal with the ACC right now. They're going to fight and fight and fight and fight against this happening, because right now they have cheap programming, and they're not going to want. There's nothing. I don't think there's anything anybody could do that would incentivize ESPN to break that deal. So it's not just the schools; it's the networks that you have to appease. Now, cash is going to ultimately probably be what makes this happen. There was a point in all this where we wondered, like, what is the timing for all this? Are we looking at, you know, 5-10 years down the road when these buy? I think we're getting a clear answer of that, if nothing else. I think that the Big 12 is going to push the issue here, and the timing on this is probably much, much sooner than we initially thought. That report from Scheer within the next year or two is coming from people he's talking to within the league. I don't know if the play is to go take private money. and to try and blow this thing out and up and to get bigger and to be there with the SEC and the Big Ten, which, by the way, is the right play of making sure you're never left out, then the timing doesn't really matter. You could go make that move, you know, tomorrow. And I know it's more complicated than that. They've got to figure out the legal issues first. That's what's going to take so much time. But once they have a clear indication of that, I don't think raising the funds to do it is going to be the challenge. Because I think anybody, if you had all the money in the world and you just saw what the NBA got, I mean, I don't know this, but I would bet that college football numbers as a whole are at least as high as the NBA, or they can be. Like, I'd be more interested than that, in that, even than the NBA, because you're getting football, you're getting basketball, you're getting all these things. If I was an investor, if I had the money, I'd say, yeah, sign me up for that. Like, get me on board with that, because your greatest stars are going to become even bigger stars as they get paid, and you know, they become NIL superstars, and now you're going to see them front-facing in ads, which you couldn't always see before. You know, a part of the NBA, probably the biggest part of the NBA that makes it so valuable, is its star players. Well, we're only scratching the surface of how big a star players in college are going to become now in this new age. That's where, to me, the money is. If the NBA, Tommy, is worth $76 billion over 11 years, okay. What would Big 12 be worth?
When you're combining both football and basketball?
Yeah.
You know, it's,
like, what could it's a total package, which featured, you know, a lot of the ACC combined with what you currently have? I don't think we're comprehending the potential of that number correctly. I think they could absolutely get where the Big Ten and the SEC are now. That if that's your baseline, if that's your minimum, I think that's very easily attainable if you're able to blow this up and redo a deal. Don't ever forget how short the deal your Mark signed was, right? A part of the beauty of his last deal, it was there were several facets to it that made it really smart. It was first, which ultimately destroyed the Pac-12. Well, that and then paying Colorado ultimately destroyed the Pac-12. But it was short, which means they get back to the table sooner. Now, everybody else is sort of set. The Big 12, and that also, by the way, emphasizes the urgency for the Big 12 to get this done quickly. Because when their deal's up, what was it, 5 years, 3 years? It was very short.
28, 29, yes. Something like that.
So you get back to the table now with all of these factors mixed in. The NIL is going to increase that value for everybody. The basketball brands are going to increase in value. If you can go add the big brands that you want to, here we go. Katie barred the doors, because they're going to get a huge deal.
Remember, the huge issue, the elephant in the room currently with the ACC is how long their media rights deal is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not up until 2026 or 2036, correct, I believe. Like, it's a long time. We're talking, you know, over a decade until the ACC can get back to the table. And, you know, that's a huge reason why, in fact, the primary reason why Florida State sued the conference, you know, trying to find a way out of that deal, because they've been locked in for so long while all of these other conferences, and then, of course, by, you know, extension of the conferences, the member schools are getting big paydays because they're at the table and the ACC is not able to do that, you know, for another 12 plus years before they can start negotiating that. So that's a major issue with all of that too. And again, like, if I'm the ACC, I'm like, man, if there's any way we can get out of this and we can try to renegotiate, you know, that's maybe going to help, you know, us remain sustainable in this new ecosystem of college athletics. I just think that's unlikely.
There's no way that deal makes it to the finish line. No way. So how does it not? I think that becomes the bigger question, and that will be what gets boring, quite frankly. That part will be boring, figuring out the litigation, figuring out, like, that part's going to be lame for us, right? For us as followers of this. They can get Florida State and Clemson. Here's the other chestnut checkers that I've wondered about. There's almost never synergy among these leagues in college. But what if you're Yormark? You know you've got the money to go after the two teams that we don't think the Big Ten and the SEC want anyway, right? I don't think they do. I don't think they want either of those teams. I think they want Virginia, North Carolina, and Miami more. So, all right, here's what we're going to do. You get on the phone with Sankey, and I can't remember the name of the Big Ten's commissioners off the top of my head. You get them on the horn and say, here's what we're going to do, guys. We've taken some money. Let's collectively strike right now. Who do you want? You want that team? SEC, you go get North Carolina and whoever, Virginia. Big Ten, you go get Miami and Duke. Like, whatever it is, right? We're going to go get Florida State and Clemson. We all strike now, a deal will fall apart. The ACC, the ESPN won't want it anymore. You take those schools out. Now that long deal, they feel like they're getting tremendous value. Like, they don't want it anyway. Boom. Done. Could they collectively attack that? Because it'll be hard for the Big 12 to do this by themselves.
They could.
It will be hard. It would be hard for the Big 12 to just go take only those two. Because why would you only go take those two? Like, if you're gonna be the first to strike, you'd want to start with North Carolina, right? You'd want to start, especially when you consider the basketball and all those things. So there almost has to be other parts of this. It's odd to me for the Big 12 to pick those two. Now, those two have been the most vocal in their displeasure. Certainly, they have. They've also been the most unrealistic about what they are. They're going to have to take a step back and understand that I don't think the SEC or the Big Ten wants them. The Big 12 is the fit there. You become major players. You become the most well-known football brands in that league. Now, they may want a bigger slice of the pie. They're not going to get that in the Big 12. But here the Big 12 is potentially offering you the assistance you need to get out of your TV deal. It makes a ton of sense. Makes even more sense, though, if the ACC gets attacked from multiple fronts and they're trying to scramble that way. And then what happens at that point? We know what happens at that point. Everybody panics, just like they did in the Pac-12. Everybody panics. And now Big 12, basically, all of those other teams, you know, your Louisville's and your, you know, the ACC is a really big league, but you know what I mean. Even Duke. I mean, could you imagine, Tommy, if you could get Duke and Kansas and Arizona, and now I guess Houston, you could probably put in that conversation. Maybe Gonzaga. I mean, the possibilities here are endless. Yeah. This is why the money and the fundraising part of this is probably going to be a piece of cake for Brett Yormark. Piece of cake.
It's absolutely, by the way, it's absolutely ludicrous to me that, there's this thought that Florida State and Clemson are overvaluing themselves and maybe not worth what they think that they're worth. I mean, in the last 11 years, three of the national football champions have been either Florida State or Clemson. Three out of the last 11. You know, so you're talking about more than 25% in the last 11 years. Florida State won it in 2013. Clemson won it in 2016 and 2018. So three of the last 11 national champions in college football have been one of those two teams. You know, and so it's like, I think it's a mistake in my mind if truly the SEC and the Big Ten don't want them, because I do think that they bring a good amount of value. I genuinely do. I don't think that they've overvalued themselves. I do think that Florida State looks at themselves as, you know, probably too good for the ACC. And so that would be interesting to me for them to, you know, then be okay with heading to the Big 12, because I would imagine that at least in their minds, they would probably put the Big 12, at least right now, at the same level as the ACC. I just think it's surprising to me that there's kind of that narrative surrounding both Florida State and Clemson. The other thing that I'll say, when you're talking about synergy, I'll take it even a step further. And again, I think there's going to have to be a lot that happens for anything like this to take place, because you're right. You don't get a lot of synergy between the major conferences. You've got a battle of egos and the member schools and like all of that. They have a hard time getting out of their own way. But if you take it a step further, it would be incredible, in my opinion, if all of the major conferences struck a deal with private equity together, and then you absolutely kick the NCAA to the curb. Like, the NCAA as a governing body is gone, and you have a new private equity group coming in, funding this overall national organization where you've got the Big Ten, the SEC, and the Big 12 all coexisting in this ecosystem. again, it's going to take a lot for something like that to happen. But I do think that the NCAA as a whole has outlived its effectiveness and its usefulness as a governing body. I don't exactly know how that all pans out long term, but that would be also something that I think would be interesting if they were able to get out of their own ways and actually have those conversations.
Somebody's got to govern. Who wants to do that? That'd be my question. Nobody wants to do that. Okay, you want to get rid of the NCAA? Who's going to do it then?
That's what nobody I'm saying. You have a private equity arm to come in and develop a new governing body that actually advocates for the schools and for the athletes and things like that. And
then who wants to deal in organizing tournaments?
You don't have to compliance. Like, you get to make the rules at that point. Like, you get to set, as the conferences and as the schools, you get to determine that. You get to decide what compliance looks like and what tournaments look like. And you don't have to abide by the NCAA and their archaic rules and all of that anymore.
Who governs the NCAA basketball tournaments? Imagine what that takes.
You're right. What I'm saying is that you then put the power back in the hands of the schools, the institutions, the conferences. Like, they get to dictate and determine everything that they do. And it all comes with private equity. It all comes with that money coming in to finance the entire thing. And it, so you want to tell me that these conferences wouldn't love the opportunity to just give the middle finger to the NCAA and say, hey, we'll cover this ourselves.
So I would
we've got it in place.
I would tell you that I could almost guarantee you at the school level, they don't want to do that. They have no interest in trying to do. They're already stretched too thin, especially now that they're going to have to start dealing with NIL more directly and all that sort of thing. They don't want to do that. I would be surprised if the conferences would want to try and collectively put together tournaments and postseasons and I think the NCAA is going to lose its power, but I've always thought there has to be some sort of NCAA to just organize the cohesiveness among conferences. I just think that task is not the important task. The NCAA is losing its power anyway. That power is already going to shift to the conferences because the courts are going to make it shift that way. The NCAA doesn't have a lot of teeth, but it does have teeth in organization. It has teeth in the lower levels of college sports, and I just don't think the schools have the types of resources or time to try and do that collectively.
They don't. But if you get enough money, somebody willing to pay to organize it, you can hire that out.
I mean, you'd be looking at creating sort of another CFP. I mean, so in football, you already basically have that through the CFP. You'd need another one for basketball. Then who does baseball? Who does soccer? Who does track and field? I would be surprised if the schools would ever be on board with that. I mean, the NCAA is built to serve the schools by, definition of sorts. Again, I think the NCAA will look very different in the future, but I think it still exists. I think that the big thing right now for the leagues and everything else, it's all about the TV money. How do you position yourselves in the TV space? Because we're just being told by deals over and over and over again, it is the most valuable asset out there right now in television. So how are you positioning yourselves? I think the focus is so much more on that for the leagues, and it has to be on that for the leagues, that if we're prioritizing, you've got to let somebody else deal with what's legal in NIL and what is legal in academic compliance and all of that stuff. To me, while it's incredibly important to the sport and everything that we love, it's not what Brett Yormark needs to be focused on. I don't need Brett Yormark focusing on academic compliance. I need Brett Yormark focusing on, if you're going to take the money, What is you're trying to return on investment? Here, let me put it to you this way. If it's my money, there's not much of a return on investment of coming up with college sports organizing body. As an investor, why would I want any part of that?
Sure, there is.
Where?
By collectively bringing all of the institutions together, you then become a more valuable and powerful entity when things are being self-governed. And it doesn't mean that Brett Yormark himself or Greg Sankey himself are planning the tournaments or dealing with individual cases of compliance, but the sum of all the individual parts becomes significantly more valuable. You have so much more bargaining power. You have so much more opportunities to monetize. You can absolutely do that when you don't have to worry about the NCAA over their shoulders and micromanaging everything that they do. And then you've got outside third-party money coming in to allow these conferences and these schools to be able to self-govern. You hire out people. You probably end up bringing over a good amount of the people that work at the NCAA. Like, hey, like, you want to come over and work for us? Like, we're going to do it ourselves. We don't need the external NCAA body to govern anything that we do anymore. We're going to kick them to the curb, and we would love you to come over and work for us instead. I think at that point, you have that much more power. You have that much more autonomy. And then you have, if you're going and talking with ESPN or Fox or whatever, like, there are, you already get a lot of money from media rights deals from a conference perspective. Think about if you were a total, like, overall body, like all of these, the power 50 or whatever it is, all these schools that are in these three conferences, you have all of this negotiating power. There absolutely would be a significant,
but they already have that. They have the CFP.
Sure. And you could get more.
What do you think the greatest risk right now to college sports is? It's litigation.
I don't know.
Okay. It's litigation. Yeah. If it's my money, I don't want any piece of any of that litigation that's inevitable right now. Let somebody else, NCAA, right now, deal with all that. They're being sued every other day. I don't want any part of that litigation. Nothing. I want my return on investment, and the money is coming in those TV deals.
This is what doesn't make sense to me when it comes to college athletics and the way, like, the media rights deals work and all of that. The way that the way it's currently negotiated and the rights deals that are in place, it would be the equivalent. And if we're moving towards this in college athletics, where with NIL and, like, all of these different, you know, ways that the monetization is coming along, it would be the equivalent of, like, the National League West having their own media rights deals in Major League Baseball, and the American League Central having their own media rights deal, or in the NBA, the Western Conference, they've got their own media rights deal. The Eastern the NBA has their media rights deal. Major League Baseball has their media rights deals. College athletics as a whole in general should have their own media rights deal.
Well, CFP. They have the CFP. That's its own deal, right? Like, they negotiated that separately, didn't they? I mean, it has
Over the course of a month, you know, that you get that at the end of the season.
Right, but investors don't want the College World Series. They don't want the Women's College World Series. They don't want the National Track and Field.
And
but
basketball.
The football already has one, and basketball already has one. Those are two separate deals that are already negotiated. We know the basketball deal's
for
worth $1 billion.
Season. Yeah, for postseason.
Right, but what do you think? Like, yes, and then the conferences run the rest of the money in their conference deals. I just don't know. Like, what do you mean? Like, what? I don't understand. We reach a postseason that already has it. Let's take a break because we're way past it, and then we'll continue to sort through this. 869-1240 is the number on the IHOP hotline. We'll start our HTO text to win giveaway here. You can enter the contest by texting the keyword TTEA to 20357. Each participant can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Free iced tea, free rain coffee from any of the three Metro HTO locations. Good luck, everybody. We'll come back. We'll continue to try to sort through this. It is exciting time, I think, in college sports. If you're a Big 12 fan, anyway. We'll come back. More on Sports Daily.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Everybody, before we jump back into our college sports conversation, let's go to Dave. Wants to talk a little K-State football on the IHOP hotline. It is available for you today, 869-1240. What's up, Dave?
Well, I just wondered what information you had about this alleged possible poaching by K-State and other schools of the Colorado State players before they were in the portal.
Of a quarterback that would be a backup quarterback and the money that was alleged, I think it makes no sense. I'm not going to say it's not true because I don't know, but I don't think it makes any sense. I think it would, like, what in the world would K-State be doing going after that player for that price tag anyway?
Well, wasn't there a tight end involved also?
Well, not to the direct claim of what was it, $500,000-$600,000 for the for the quarterback Nicolosi. Like, I don't know. Like, how much policing do these schools have over what these collectives are doing anyway? I think it's a great question. What I would tell you is I don't think K-State fans need to be like offended or defensive about that. If you don't think there is tampering happening, you're not paying attention, and that needs to be policed, but it's not really policed right now. And so I would say the specific example just doesn't make sense to me. Whether it's true or not is not I don't know, but I think you got to consider the source, and I think you got to really think about what's being alleged and why would they do that. But I mean, maybe they did. I don't know. I don't think Chris Kleiman's calling these kids and saying, "Hey, that's not happening anywhere." I think these collectives are running a little bit wild, and that's just the world we live in right now.
Well, none of it's been policed for many, 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 many years, so I think it's the same old stuff going on. You're right.
I mean, you think anything different, Tommy?
No, I mean, I think that, yeah, to your point, Dave, as far as it, you know, been going on for a long, long time, that's very true. Now you've kind of got it, you know, out in the open.
It's just front facing now, right?
It's just front facing. Like, it's the same thing to an extent as it's been before. You're just not, you know, doing bags of, you know, cash under the table, you know, to a player. It's a little bit more front facing. Doesn't mean that there shouldn't be guardrails. There absolutely sure. should be. That's just really not in place yet. I do think that there's got to be better mechanisms in place for the institutions to know what the collectives are doing and vice versa. And I don't necessarily know if that's really always the case. Was it the case in this particular situation? I have no idea. But generally speaking, I do think that you've got collectives that are out there probably doing the dirty work to an extent, and they don't even really necessarily know what the institution has, you know, going on and what they're working on.
They'll work. It'll be a more cohesive thing. Moving forward, it's not yet, but we know that. Look, I would like to think some of the more high profile transfers even before NIL were taken care of by the incoming institution or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, again, we're just saying the quiet part out loud. That's the big thing. Does it need to be governed better? Absolutely it does. And it will be. We're still in the messy part of this. Like, we're still getting there. So I looked, and I'm trying to, Tommy and I were just discussing, like, any interest as private equity is going to clearly become a part of these equations. If private equity would have any interest in the governing part of all of this, the new CFP deal that was just signed, 6 years, $7.8 billion, the NCAA tournament deal, which is more inclusive, you might remember, and I had to look this one up, it includes more than just basketball, but it's, I can't recall the number of years, but I think it was like $900 million, and that's to do kind of all of it. I don't know. I think, again, if it was my money, that's the messy part, and that's the part ripe for litigation, the compliance part, the rulemaking part. They still have to sort through how they're going to get players paid. They still have to sort through, you know, how do you go back in the past? These class action lawsuits, Kansas just sued the NCAA. Like, I wouldn't want any part of that legal obligation. So at least until that part sorts itself out, I don't think anybody's going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. The only thing that will save them is legislation that protects them. And until legislation that protects them comes along, I just don't think money people are always afraid of getting sued. That's like every big money person's biggest fear. So the TV deals to me are more intriguing. Slapping a name to a conference or whatever it may be, or being a part of the seismic shift for a return on my investment, that last seismic shift that is almost certainly still coming. The CFP is its own thing. I wonder how many CFPs we can have, right? So how many, like, so the CFP does its own thing. The CFP doesn't care about anything else. It organizes, it ranks the teams, it does all these things. It's its own thing. Could you have, the equivalent of a CFP in college basketball? Probably. I don't think, honestly, there would be much interest from anyone to do it outside of football and basketball. That's no offense to any of those things. That's just what's the valuable asset. So I don't know if there would be interest there. I would tend to think, for the biggest reason being litigation, there would not be. But then, too, like, how much you would have, you could break out basketball, but I think that would be about the last untapped place for money to get involved.
Yeah, I do think that you've got this great opportunity. And whether we're talking about the SEC, the Big Ten, or the Big 12, really all three of them combined, there is an opportunity in place, and I think it's growing by the day, and every time there's a change or whatever, a school going somewhere else or rumors or whatever, you've got this opportunity, I think, for the price tag to go up for other entities to do business with you as a conference or as a you know, sport in general. You know, college football in general, college basketball in general, the price tag goes up, the value goes up. I think that you are more powerful when there are other players that are in place, when you've got, like, I think, I, for instance, like, take a look at the Big 12, take a look at the institutions that are in place at the Big 12. If you were to add on also the Big 10 schools, also the SEC schools all together into one, and you're going back to the table and you're negotiating with networks. You're negotiating with, you know, other entities that would want to license the brands and things like that. Your price tag is going to be that much higher when you've got the sum of all of the parts together, working together to get the best value. And so I do think that that opportunity is on the table. I don't think that that's likely. I want to be clear about that, because the SEC cares too much about the SEC and the Big 12 cares too much about the Big 12 and whatever. I don't think that they can get out of their own ways to make something like that happen. But I do think that you leave money on the table when that sort of thing is not in place.
If there's room for a new NCAA, which is what people talk, it's not coming for a while. Like they got to clear the courts. They got to figure out all the back pay, basically, in the class action lawsuits, and wait on lawmakers to protect them. I think what you have is the CFP. And the CFP right now is largely, you know, skewed, we know this, to the SEC, to the Big Ten. We all are very aware of that. So what can the Big 12 do right now to help that is to become a bigger player in that. The money in the CFP deal, just the CFP deal, is staggering. It's like $1 billion a year for just that little bitty thing, right? That's not even yet fully where it's going to be. We're going to 12 teams for the first time now. So I think as much as anything, you just have to make sure that in college football, which is, there's no question it's the most valuable of these entities, you're well positioned in the CFP. CFP already doesn't care what the NCAA thinks. They're going to do their own thing. But is it, you know, it's not equipped to take on an entire season. It's not equipped to probably oversee the rest of the bowl games, which I don't think anybody wants to go away. So I think there's room for both still. But yeah, if you want to enhance the CFP part of that, great, do it. But before you do any of that, if you're the Big 12 taking money, you got to make sure that your place at that CFP table is as strong as it can be. Because that's where you, like, you get paid by having participants, right? Like, you, it's kind of like the NCAA tournament. Like, the more you get in, the more money you're going to make. And so you get in and you position yourself. Right now, the goal for the Big 12 has to be, how do we position ourselves to be as valuable as the SEC and the Big Ten? The SEC and the Big Ten don't want that, right? They don't want them to be as valuable. So you're definitely not working with them in that capacity. You're trying to get big. The only thing where cohesiveness makes sense to me is if you're trying to say, all right, how do we knock off one more thing? How do we get rid of the ACC? Like, we're all going to go in this together and we're going to get rid of that. It's no offense to the ACC. I love the ACC. I wish they could just merge with the Big 12 and we'd be done with this, but that's not going to happen. So how do you just basically speed up the clock on their situation legally and financially? You go help them with their buyouts. You go help Florida State and Clemson with their buyouts today. They'll be gone tomorrow. They've said that publicly, that they want out, right? They're not even hiding it. They want out. They just can't get out because they can't afford it. So if you want that to happen, you go help them with that part. They'll come right on over. And if you're trying to justify spending that money to the rest of your schools, you got to have some foresight to what the next Big 12 TV deal looks like. And that's where, like, if I'm K-State right now, and Brett Yormark came to me and said, hey, we're taking in $50 million private equity. We're going to use $25 million of that each to get Florida State and Clemson to come join us. And they're like, whoa. Where's our piece of that $50 million? You say, wait till that next TV deal. Because if I can get those two schools to come over, the TV deal increases by X dollars for X years. This is what we're projecting in that TV deal. And if you don't believe me, look at the last TV deal I got done. So I see that being how this plays out. You take in the money, you break off the ACC, and you bring the absolute strongest package you can bring to the table. And the beauty of that short TV deal they got done the first time, and now you go secure your SEC or Big Ten TV deal. And then the other stuff, you worry about it later. Then there's a Power 3. That's the best case scenario for the Big 12. It's worst case scenario for the ACC. But because, you know, this going to a Power 3 is the best thing that could happen to the Big 12. It secures their place, basically.
10 years from now, there are not going to be four major conferences.
No, there'll be three.
There'll be three. And Brett Yormark knows that. And that's the major reason why the aggressiveness continues. It wasn't that done enough after what happened with the Pac-12. It continues,
He has a finish line. He's up against a timer. They need this done before they negotiate their next TV deal. And that's why I think the urgency and all of this stuff is speeding along. They've got to be secure by the time the next one they sign, that's the one they want to be there with the SEC and the Big Ten. And I think they can get there if they play their cards right now. And it looks like they are. 869-1240. Certainly something we can continue to discuss throughout the week, the All-Star week, the All-Star break. We'll come back. Quick segment here, Sports Daily. All right, this portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Get out there, hit the pool, the golf courses. Go check it out. I know they're doing a lot of upgrades to the facilities right now. They'll give you a tour. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. Appreciate Crestview Country Club's support. Tommy and I, both members out there. All right, Tommy, who you betting tonight in the Derby? I'm going to take a little on Alec Bohm at 16 or 17 to 1 where he is some places, and I'm going to take Adolis Garcia at 5, 5.5 to 1. I'm going to reluctantly, for now, leave Bobby Witt off as much as I'm going to be rooting for Bobby Witt Jr. I just don't like his odds.
I'm not really betting on this from an odds perspective. I'm betting on it from a personal perspective. I'm betting Marcell Ozuna. I know that, you know, he doesn't have the best odds in this, but he's my guy. I'm a Braves fan. He's hit a bunch of home runs for the Braves this year. I'm going to give it to him. I think that he will win the Home Run Derby, and I'm excited to watch that tonight.
Well, look, I hope we're all wrong and Bobby Witt Jr. wins it. I think that'd be fun. Adolis will be fun if he gets on one, just because of his flair and his. We got a lot of rooting interest here. We basically no Pete Alonso, no Gunnar Henderson. Although I'd be kind of happy with Gunnar Henderson because he brought a young star, but no Pete Alonso, no Teoscar Hernandez. Then I'll be happy. I don't need to see. I don't need to see Jose Ramirez win this thing. So basically, anybody but those three, and I'm good.
It's fine with me. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch tonight, regardless who wins. As much as I like Alec Bohm because he's a former Shocker, I can't stand the Phillies because I'm a Braves fan. So yeah, I always find myself rooting against him.
Pretty hard to beat 17-1. Hard to beat 17-1 on any.
Those are good odds.
Any player, yeah. Especially in the new format, right? The head-to-head thing. It feels like your underdogs are in a better position now. 869-1240, that IHOP hotline. Thanks to Prairie-Fi Coffee for always keeping us fueled up here at the Odyssey Studios, KFH, everywhere here. All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap it up, tell you what's on tap next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.